Good morning again, church. How are we doing this morning? Good. I'm glad two of you are doing well. We're working on them, Doc. We'll get them loosened up for you. Well, before Dr. Calder comes, would you please stand on your feet? We're going to do our verse of the week, and it is available to you as you leave the auditorium, and it's also available on our social media. We'll do the reference, the verse, and then the reference, okay? Great. We'll just go ahead and do that. Tough crowd this morning. I'm trying. Out of all the services, this is the one that talks back the most. All right, there we go. Now you're getting it. All right, let's do the reference, the verse, and then the reference. 1 John 5, 6, and 7. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify. 1 John 5, 6, and 7. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We are privileged to have Dr. Wendell Calder and his wife Joan. Is she here for the third service? She's in the back, so if you want to go ahead and greet Mrs. Calder, that would be wonderful as well. They are missionaries from Crosspoint, and he has a worldwide ministry, and we are very thankful that he is here. We want to talk about him for a few moments, and then we're going to let him speak for himself because he is not short of words. I mean that as a compliment. All right, I'm with you for the third service, so this is the real Tom, okay? All right. We ask every missionary, what are a few prayer requests that you have that we can be praying for? So he gave us three. Two of them are for the church. One of them is personal. The first two for the church is he is asking that we pray for revival. And our churches so desperately need revival today. He's also praying and encouraging us to pray that new people would come to know Jesus, that they would grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to do. We want to encourage each person to grow in their walk with Jesus. And then a personal prayer request that he shared with us is that he asked that we pray for physical strength and healing for both he and his wife, Joan. He will share some physical updates of what's been going on in their life, but it is a testimony to the faithfulness of God that he is able to be here. And it's a long morning for him being here at 7:30 preaching three messages. So we're going to pray that the Lord give him a special anointing physically as he brings the message. So let's go ahead, let's pray for Dr. Calder, and then we will invite him up to the service. Lord, we're so thankful for the Calders. We're thankful for their years of faithful service to you in the ministry and the proclamation of your word. As they continue to preach revival and bring people into a relationship with you, we thank you for his faithfulness and desire and love for your word. So now as he comes up and he presents and preaches your word, I pray that you might give him physical strength as he is coming off of a few months or even a year of physical difficulties. Pray for Joan as well, that you put a special blessing on her. And I pray, Lord, as he preaches your word and we know the truth of your word, that your word will not return void. So give him the boldness that he needs. Give him the clarity of thought that he needs to be able to present your truth to challenge us from your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. And as he comes forward, we're going to encourage you, if you want to give to a love offering, that is in the back as well, if you want to give at the end of service. Dr. Caldwell, come on up and share God's word.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you so much, folks. I appreciate it. How many are here? Okay. I check. This is the least. Smaller percent known. God bless you. It's been a joy to be here. On behalf of my wife, Joan, who's also here, and myself, I want to say thanks to the church. This church has faithfully supported our ministry for many years. We appreciate it. I know that many of you have been praying for us, and this year has been a little bit difficult physically. Back in March, I was preaching in we live in Newport, Maine. Our family all live in Florida. So I was preaching in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Had some problems, called our daughter Sunday afternoon, who is a nurse and head of the operating rooms at Leesburg Regional Medical Center. At that time, our granddaughter, who was a nurse practitioner, was also in charge of the emergency room, but she now works for a team of cardiologists. So I called our daughter and told her the problems I was having. She said, "Dad, I have all the surgeon's phone numbers in my phone, but I never call them on a weekend, but I will call one this afternoon." So she did. He told her they didn't have any openings for about 2.5 months, but he said, "We'll take him in tomorrow." And so Monday morning they called and said to be there at 1 o'clock. So it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? And he examined, he scoped my bladder, and his first question was, "Are you a smoker?" I said, "No, never smoked in my life." Well, he said, "This is a smoker's tumor." And anyway, on Tuesday, they did the prep. A couple of days later, did the surgery. And after the surgery, several weeks, I went back and they scoped the bladder, and his one word was pristine. And so I went home, looked up the word so I'd know what it meant. And just kidding. And so we thanked the Lord. He said it had not gone into the muscle. He got it all. But I've had nothing but problems since. I've had a catheter in more than I've had it out since last March. And on June 8th, I had a prostate procedure called Resume. Then on September 10th, I had prostate surgery, referred to as TURP. And so we thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord, I don't have a catheter at the present time. And also doing well, feel well physically, very weak. And that's probably because of my many trips that I make during the night. So I won't talk any more about that, but I appreciate your prayers. And we canceled all of September except Living Waters Camp. I was there Labor Day weekend, spoke 4 times. But in October, we've been ministering. It was 2 weeks in North Carolina, 1 week in Pennsylvania. And then this past week, all week, I've been at Cornerstone Baptist in Exeter last Sunday. And then Monday night through Friday night, we did a study on the book of Ephesians, 2 45-minute sessions each evening. We averaged about 80 people per service per night. And so we thank God for that, for the strength that he gives. So thanks for your prayers. My wife was diagnosed back in May with memory loss. Follow up in September with a specialist, and it had progressed some, or digressed, whichever word I guess you want to use. We only share that because we want you to pray for us, and we appreciate it, but God's been so good, and we're so thankful for every blessing we enjoy at his good hand. Got your Bible? Turn, please, to the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he did cover his feet." Each one had 6 wings. "With twain he covered his feet, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not." God always blesses the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for your word. It is eternal. You said it'll never return empty, void, meaningless. It'll accomplish your purpose. We claim that in Christ's name. Amen. There are certain events that happen in the course of one's lifetime, whether they happen to you personally, in your family, your town, village, city, your state, your nation, or the world. There are certain events that if I were to see you years later, and I were to say to you, where were you and what were you doing when such and such an event happened? You would immediately be able to tell me. One such event, of course, was 9/11, 2001. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since that happened. My wife and I were home that day. We're not home very often, but we were home. I left the house that morning fairly early. I met three guys at the golf course, and we played golf. And I always say, people ask me, do you play golf? And I said, people play with me do not think I do. And of course, preachers, as you know, make the best golfers because we're always teed off and putting around. And so I met my three friends at the golf course. We played, when we finished the ninth, on the ninth green, you travel across the parking lot to the 10th tee. Just as we started across the parking lot, I looked and my wife was driving into the golf course. Perfect timing. But I knew she'd come to share something. She came to ask if we'd know what had happened. We had not. And as we sat there in the parking lot, she said an airplane had gone into one of the Twin Towers in New York City. A second airplane gone into the second Twin Tower. Then a little later, of course, the airplane that went into the Pentagon. And then later that day, the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And so later that afternoon, late on into the night, I sat glued to the television. You ladies know how we men do with a remote control, just going from channel to channel, right? Mostly watching Fox News. They're 10% conservative, the rest are 100% liberal. Just getting a perspective on what had happened. At about 11 o'clock or so that night, turned off the TV on my way to bed, went in my office, sat down, opened my Bible, and my Bible opened to Isaiah 6. I did not intentionally open it to Isaiah 6, but I sat there late that night and I read. In the very first part of verse 1, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, that was 739 BC, he had reigned for nearly 52 years, he died of leprosy. So Isaiah said, I remember that date, that year, that time, not only because it was when the king died, it also was the time of the call of God upon my heart and life for ministry. But then he said this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. And I thought as I sat there late that night with the tragic events of the day and what tragic events they were, I do not want to minimize them in any way, thousands of lives lost. I thought, how possible it be as a believer, as a Christian, to so focus on the tragedy that we miss seeing the Lord. I do not believe for a moment that my God caused 9/11, but my God sure knew all about it. My motto during COVID-19 has been, our God is working an eternal plan and he's on schedule. He just hasn't given the total schedule to you or me. And so with all the events that happened with relation, Isaiah said what? I also saw the Lord. So I thought how important it is that we get our eyes focused and centered upon him. So late that night, early the next morning, I prepared a message on Isaiah 6. You'll be able to tell I was half asleep when I prepared it. And the message is entitled, Road to Revival, Wake Up Call 911. A lot's been made of the fact that it was the ninth month, the 11th day. I'm not sure there's any great significance to that. But 911 is our emergency call here in the United States. And I personally have an opinion that I believe that possibly 9/11/2001 was a wake-up call from our God to the Church of America. Matter of fact, he got our attention for about 6 months. Church attendance went up. Even politicians said, you got to pray now. But sometimes we have short attention span. And I'm not sure, I don't know, but possibly COVID-19, and I don't want to minimize that in any way either, COVID-19 could be another wake-up call from our God. Because I personally am convinced, lest we have a genuine Holy Spirit, heaven-sent revival, in our nation, here on this North American continent, we are in desperate, desperate straits and situation. Vance Havner, the great Southern preacher, Billy Graham said he's the most quoted preacher ever lived. I had the privilege of working with him for 8 days before he went home to be with the Lord. I said to him one day, Dr. Havner, I believe I've read every book you've ever written. He said, my dear boy, you could have spent your time better than that. He had a unique way of saying in a few words what takes the rest of us an hour or so to get out. Here's his explanation of revival. He said, revival, you don't work it up, you don't pray it down, you just set your sails to catch the wind of God's divine grace. Let me run that by you again. Revival, you don't work it up, you don't pray it down, you just set your sails to catch the wind of God's divine grace. Here's another quote from Vance Havner. We're not going to convert this world by criticism of it, nor by conformity to it, but by combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. So the title of my message, Road to Revival, Wake Up Call 911. Let's take a look at it. Three things. Number one, Isaiah saw, S-A-W. Number two, Isaiah sought. He's the one who said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, right? So sought, S-O-U-G-H-T, in case you can't understand my lingo. Thirdly, Isaiah not only saw, sought, Isaiah said, S-A-I-D. So he saw the Lord, the upward look. Then he saw Isaiah, the inward look, sought the face of God, get right with God. Then he saw our world for whom Christ died. So you see the Savior, you see self, then you see the souls of men, not just as bodies walking around, but precious souls for whom Christ died. Okay, road to revival, wake up call 911. Isaiah saw. Number one, Isaiah saw his person. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Now, all a lot of people saw was a dead king and an empty throne, but Isaiah saw the Lord. So let's notice, I have a personal opinion on this, okay? If you want to be wrong, that's no problem. I'll straighten you out in the rapture. I believe way back there in 739 BC, God gave to Isaiah, down the avenues of time, down the corridors of history, I believe he gave him a view of the pre-incarnate Son of God. Isaiah is the prophet of the Messiah. I believe he actually saw the Lord Jesus. Folks, that's where all genuine revival begins. The old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this old world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. We need to get our eyes off ourselves. We need to get our eyes off other people. We need to get our eyes off our problems. We need to focus our eyes on him. And until we see him as he really is, we'll never see ourselves as we really are. So genuine revival starts with the upward look. Isaiah saw his person. Secondly, Isaiah saw his position. Look what he says. Also, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. The throne of the nation was empty. The king had died. But thank God there's a throne that's never been abdicated. There's a throne that's never been overthrown. Thank God there's a throne that he still reigns today, King of kings and Lord of lords. Philippians 2, 9, 10, 11. God's exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee one day is going to bow. Every tongue confess. Would to God folks would do it willingly now, right? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thirdly, Isaiah not only saw his person, his position, Isaiah saw his purity. The Bible here talks about the seraphims. They're ministering angels. It said each seraphim had six wings. With two wings, they covered their feet. That speaks of submission, humility. We said with two wings, they did fly. That's a fairly significant purpose for a wing. Then it said with two wings, they did cover their face. Why did they cover their face? Because they could not look upon the awesomeness and the purity and the holiness of our God. And as they covered their faces, they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If there ever was an hour in Christendom when we need an emphasis upon the holiness and the awesomeness of our God, it's the hour in which we're living. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's get our eyes focused on him. Isaiah saw his person, saw his position, saw his purity. Next, he saw his power. He said, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw the power and the ability of Almighty God. Ephesians 3 says that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or even think. Then when you get over to Psalm 139, the psalmist talks about the greatness of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. So as the psalmist saw the power of Almighty God, I'll tell you how powerful God is. My God is powerful to meet any need that you have today. My God is powerful enough in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive your sin, to wipe out your past, to save your soul, to indwell you by the Holy Spirit, to give you the assurance of a home in heaven forever, and the Bible is a roadmap how to live down here. So if I were you, and I was here, and I did not know for sure that if I were to die today, heaven would be my eternal destination, I would not walk out of the doors of this auditorium till I had settled the eternal destiny of my soul. Because once life leaves your body, no preacher living ever gets you into God's heaven. What you do with Jesus Christ in this life determines the eternal destiny of your soul. Isaiah saw. He saw his person, his position, his purity, his power. He also saw his prospect. Notice it says, the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, folks, that's a prophetic statement. The whole earth is not full of the glory of God. Oh, now God's ever present. But the whole earth is not saturated with the glory of God today. Matter of fact, we're filled with rebellion, godlessness, unbelief, okay, Christlessness on every hand. But there's coming a day. Matter of fact, Isaiah devotes a whole chapter to it. Isaiah chapter 35. You need to read it. Not while I'm preaching, but you need to read it. Isaiah gave us a whole chapter. Coming a day when what? The whole world will experience the power and the glory of Almighty God. Isaiah saw. Let's turn our eyes on him. Let's see him in all of his majesty, in all of his glory. Years ago, I walked into a pulpit where I guess here, they tell me they bring this pulpit out especially when I'm here, right? So I could preach at King Arthur's Round Table, and it would be no problem for me, but I just thank God for this because it holds me up, okay? Now, with relation to the whole aspect, many years ago, I walked into a pulpit I'd never preached before, and on big, bold letters on the back of the pulpit, it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I said, man, that's a great reminder for the preacher. That's a good reminder for each one of us. Isaiah saw. Now, secondly, when Isaiah saw the Lord, Isaiah saw Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord and Isaiah saw Isaiah, Isaiah did not like what Isaiah saw in Isaiah. Now, in case you didn't get that, I'll run it by you one more time. I practiced that hours early this morning. When Isaiah saw the Lord, Isaiah saw Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord and Isaiah saw Isaiah, Isaiah didn't like what he saw in Isaiah. Listen, folks, you and I will never see ourselves as we really need to see ourselves till we see him. See, that's what the wisdom of God is. The wisdom of God is the ability to view earth's circumstances from heaven's perspective, looking through his eyes. So when Isaiah saw the Lord, then Isaiah saw his own heart. So we got the upward look, now we've got the inward look. He sees, and he doesn't like what he sees. Notice what he said. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Lord, I've really abandoned you. Lord, I've really cut you off. And then he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. What caused him to say that? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So Isaiah saw. Secondly, Isaiah sought. He now seeks the face of God. Let me give you four words that hopefully will summarize Isaiah seeking the face of God once he'd seen the Lord. Number one, conviction. He came under genuine Holy Spirit conviction. Now, what is conviction? Conviction is seeing and sensing your need and condition with a desire to do something about it. I don't believe there'll ever be genuine conversion if there's not genuine conviction. You know why some people never get saved? They never get lost. They think they're okay. See, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not only is there conviction prior to salvation, during salvation, we need conviction of sin and wrong in our lives as believers. And I'll just give you a personal observation. I'm not seeing a lot of genuine Holy Spirit conviction on the part of God's people in the area and the hour in which we're living. Secondly, conviction led to confession. When Isaiah came under conviction, he said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Would you notice something about his confession? Would you notice it's very specific, not general? You know, sometimes we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I think I sinned. I'm not sure. I believe I did. I'm not. If I did, I don't know when it was and where it was and what I did. But Lord, I certainly want to confess it. No, Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a garbage mouth. He said, my tongue's not under control. Now, we generally know in our lives the areas that are not pleasing to God. We generally know if there's anything today between my soul and the Savior as a believer, as a child of God, it ought not to be there. I ought not allow it to even go on. Okay, so Isaiah came in honest, open confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's what? He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Thank God there's no sin beyond the grace of God other than rejection of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Isaiah came under conviction. Conviction led to confession. Confession led to cleansing. When Isaiah confessed his sin and got right with God, one of the seraphims took tongs, went over to the altar, took a live coal from off the altar, came over and placed that live coal upon the lips of Isaiah and said, lo, this hath touched your lips. Your iniquity is purged. Your sin is taken away. Let me spiritualize that. When you and I come under honest conviction, come before God in genuine open confession, God the Holy Spirit takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on an old rugged cross on an old Roman gibbet. And by faith, he applies that blood and says, your sin's forgiven, your iniquity is purged, you are cleansed. And I'll tell you what, to be able to stand in the presence of Almighty God, knowing that your sin has been forgiven, that you've been cleansed, and the greatest cleanser in all the world is not a put out by Procter & Gamble. The greatest cleanser in all the world is the blood in the book. Thank God I'm made safe by the blood. I'm made sure by the book. What does John 15:3 says? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, conviction led to confession, led to cleansing. Now I want you to notice something. Here's what he said. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. Verse 1, also I saw the Lord. But heaven seemed to be silent there for a while. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me also say, if you and I regard sin in our heart, not only God will not hear me, I'll not hear him. It breaks the communication line between you and your God. So now, Isaiah said, also, I heard the voice of the Lord. So, conviction led to confession, led to cleansing. This led to the challenge. What's the challenge? Here's what God said. I'm paraphrasing. God said to Isaiah, I have a job to do, and I'm looking for volunteers. Who's available? That was in 739 BC. In November of 2021, on this first Sunday of the month, God is saying to you and me, I've got a job to do, and I'm looking for volunteers. Who's available? It's never changed. What's his job? He said, no, and tell you something, Isaiah. God gave him these words, go and tell, go and tell. That's it. He said, I want to tell you something. Not everybody's going to believe. No, he said, some are going to hear, not going to understand. They're not going to respond. Isaiah, that's not your problem. That's my problem. You leave that with me. I do a better job than you do. You just gossip the gospel. You just get out the message. You just let the whole world know that Jesus saves. So Isaiah saw, he got right with God, he sought, okay? Now he's right with God, now Isaiah said. God said, I have a job to do, what is it? I have a world to reach. Folks, we are only a heartbeat from eternity, a heartbeat from heaven or hell. And God says, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I've got news for you. The gospel still works. It's still the dynamite of God unto salvation. The New Testament book of Acts, the church grew by evangelism, by winning people to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly where we need to be today. So when Isaiah said, you know, basically God spoke to him, then the Lord said, who's available? Look what Isaiah said. Here's what he said. Here am I, Lord, send my sister. Oh, no, it's not what he said. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, what? Send me. Now, that's what Isaiah said 739 B.C. What are you going to say? What am I going to say in 2021? Hasn't changed. God's still looking for volunteers. He's still looking for those that are available. I jotted this down. What did Isaiah do when he became conscious of God's need of a man? Listen to that again. What did Isaiah do when he became conscious of God's need of a man, or in your case, it may be a lady or a young person? I jotted down three things. Number one, he made a decision on sin. We've already talked about it. Number two, he made a dedication of self. We've already talked about it. Number three, he made a determination to serve. We've already talked about it. That's what Isaiah did in 739 BC. What are you and I going to do in 2021? He made a decision on sin, made a dedication of self, and he made a determination to serve. Then I jotted this down. What did God do when Isaiah said, I'm available? God said, go and tell. Go and tell. Question. Christian, are you available? Bob Jones Sr., founder of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, is known for a great number of sayings. One of his sayings was this: our greatest ability is our availability to Jesus Christ. Our greatest ability is our availability to Jesus Christ. That's all God asks. Did you notice the words of the songs we were singing here a while ago? By the way, I didn't sit down because I'm obstinate. I sat down because I'm weak and I wanted to be able to stand up here for a while. But did you notice the words? The words of those songs said, Lord, we're going to give it all to you. The words of those songs said, Lord, you're the only one that matters in my life. Beautiful words, powerful words. That's exactly what he's saying here. Okay? When God said, who's available? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Would you notice something? Would you notice in verse 5, Isaiah said, woe. Verse 7, the seraphim said, lo. And in verse 9, God said, go. How do you go from woe to low to go? How do you go from the woe of confession to the low of cleansing to the go of commission? Very simple. Here am I, Lord, send me. Late on the night of 9/11/2001, on my knees, in my study, 36 Lunt Road, Newport, Maine, I opened my Bible, not this one, a previous Bible, but it's in this one. I opened my Bible and I wrote these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. Signed, Wendell Collier. Got it witnessed, date 9/11/2001. I believe I was available before that. Oh, we all get a little ornery at times, but I believe I was available. But you know what? My God never got the least bit upset that night that I was willing to write it in the Bible and sign my name. And you know what it's done? It has revolutionized my heart, my life, my ministry, our ministry, my burden for souls, my compassion for the lost, my desire to serve God. And in nearly 63 years of ministry, these last 20 years have been the blessing of Almighty God beyond anything we've ever met. God's given us the privilege of sharing this message on 6 continents of the world just simply because I said, dear Lord Jesus, I'm available. Christian, sir, lady, young person, and by the way, no age barriers, no age barriers. Boys and girls, teenagers can be available. Middle-aged folks can be available. Retired folks can be available. Young couples can be available. That's all God asks. And you know what? If we're available, God will use us. If we're available, God will open doors we never believed. Well, sometime after 9/11, by the way, last week, a lady came up after service, showed me her Bible, and she had written in her Bible, dear Lord Jesus, I am available. She wrote that in her Bible in this church back in November of 2001 when I was sharing. So sometime after that, I prepared a card. It's entitled Road to Revival, Wake Up Call 911. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Then this, my commitment. Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. Place for your signature, a witness, a place for a date. You know, you may have already done that. God won't get upset if you reconfirm it. But then there may be some today, you've never really made yourself available. Question, are you available? That's all God asks. Are we available? How serious are we getting about this matter of reaching a world for Jesus Christ, a world for whom Christ died? So what we're going to do in a moment, music will play. Your pastor, Pastor Brown, is going to be right here at the altar area. He'll have the cards. Not going to plead, beg, coax. Music will play. And if you will tell the Lord today you're available, come to the altar and give your card. If you come, stay here. He's going to have a prayer of dedication for you. If you're comfortable standing, stand. If you're comfortable kneeling, feel free to kneel. If you're more comfortable seated, front seats are generally free and open in a Baptist church. And so, if God speaks to you, come. So here's what I want us to do. Would you bow in prayer, please? Would you talk to the Lord? Take a couple of minutes, talk it over the Lord. If you're available, let him know. Tell him you're available. I'm going to have a word of prayer for you. And the music will play. Would you stand, please, as I pray? Our loving Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit through your word. Now, Lord, as the invitation is given, believers simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm available. And Lord, would you help folks to do what they know they need to do, what they ought to do, and what they'd be glad they did when they stand before you one day. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. God speaking, you come. Have the music play for about another minute, and then we'll have Pastor lead us in a word of prayer. If God's speaking, you come. The lights up, please. If anybody came, you wanted a card, you did not get it, we have lots of them, so let the pastor know. Anybody? Okay, what I'd like you to do, God bless you. What I'd like you to do is read it with me, and then Pastor will have a prayer of dedication commitment. Let's read the entire part together. Ready? Road to Revival, Wake Up Call 911. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord say, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now this part, let's all read it. My commitment. Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. Sign it, get somebody to witness it. If it's today's date, put that down. If it's a previous date, fine. Peel off the back, put it in your Bible. It's a great daily reminder. Lord Jesus, I am available. Pastor.
Lord, we're so thankful for the power of your word, delivered by a dear faithful servant. And I stand here with these folks saying, here am I, send me. So Lord, we pray that this would be a commitment that is renewed, or for the first time that we would be willing to go. Now as we are dismissed from here, Lord, we're going to take this gospel to a world that is so desperately in need of revival. So Lord, help us in boldness to go out proclaiming your word. We have a story to tell to the nations that will turn their hearts to the right. Lord, give us the boldness and the courage to go share. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.